Hello and welcome to Book Choice, Publisher's Choice, here on Fine Music Radio. My name is Paige Nick and I join you every second Tuesday for a full hour to talk about books. Today's Publisher's Choice, and it's a very special show because we're joined on the show every second week by three of South Africa's top international publishing houses and South Africa's number one most favorite bookseller, Exclusive Books. And these publishers and this bookseller come on the show to tell us what they've got on their shelves, what they've got on their best of lists, those books that they really recommend. Of course, they publish and sell way more than what they're telling us about, but these are the hand-picked titles they've read and they want us to know about. They also give us a little bit of insight into the publishing world and into the bookselling world, and it's a very special show, if you ask me, one of my favorite shows, although I might be biased. First up today, we've got Exclusive Books. Batya Bricka is here. She's going to be telling us about what's on their shelves this month, upcoming on this month. After that, we've got Penguin Random House is here to tell us about what they're selling and what they think you'll really enjoy. Then we're joined by Pan Macmillan, who's going to do the same thing. They're going to give us a little rundown of what they're publishing right now. The Jonathan Ball team always have a very special segment to share with us. They normally bounce from member of team to tell us about what they've got going on. This is going to be a really cool show, and the whole thing is going to be bookended by some fantastic music that's been compiled by Mzu at Fine Music Radio. Stick around, we've got a great show coming up for you, and we're going to get started with it right after this track, which is La Vie en Rose by Emile Mini. And what I can tell you that all of the tracks on today's show are completely local. Isn't that fantastic? Or should I say, isn't that lekker? Okay, here's the track, La Vie en Rose.
Quand elle me prend dans ses bras, elle me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Elle me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de chaque jour, et ça me fait quelque chose. Elle est entrée dans mon cœur, une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est elle pour moi, moi pour elle dans la vie. Elle me l'a dit, là j'irai pour la vie. Et dès que je l'aperçois, alors je sens en moi le cœur qui bat. Alors je sens en moi le cœur qui bat. Dès que je l'aperçois, alors je sens en moi le cœur qui bat. Dès que je l'aperçois, alors je sens en moi le cœur qui bat.
Hey, welcome back. That was La Vie en Rose by Emile Mini. It's the first track in Book Choice, Publisher's Choice, our every second week book show. In fact, I think this might be the only show in the country and potentially even the only show in the world where you brought an hour of books and reviews brought to you by the publishers themselves. These guys really know what they're talking about. They spend their days 24/7 immersed in books, reading them, producing them, buying them from overseas, deciding what to sell locally. So I tend to listen really carefully when they talk about a book they've personally enjoyed. Generally, it's a good one. So as I mentioned, first up, you know, normally we do this the other way around. I normally end the show with Butcher Bricker from Exclusive Books, but we're going to do things ever so slightly differently. We're going to actually start the show with Butcher Bricker. Now, Butcher is the general manager of books and brands at Exclusive Books. It's a massive job. I'm not quite sure how she manages it. And also what amazes me about Butcher, she manages to read a hell of a lot. So she's got this enormous job that she has to do every single day, and she still has massive to-read pile that she manages to get through. I've said this before, but Batya and I have super similar reading tastes, so I'm always interested to hear what she's got going on. Hi, Batya. Welcome to the show, and what have you been reading?
Hi, I'm Batya Breaker from Exclusive Books. And this month, we're taking a closer look at what in the book trade is called genre fiction, books that are written very specifically to a genre. Common genre fiction includes crime, romance, fantasy, science fiction, horror, adventure. In genre fiction, the use of established elements define that genre. So, for example, science fiction is known for its use of technology, science, and future worlds. Each genre has its own set of tropes and conventions that frequently appear within their stories. Like fantasy will have a chosen one, ultimate evil, and otherworldly characters. Or romance might feature a memorable meetup, second chances, and friends to lovers. The majority of genre fiction is plot-driven. Its stories follow a well-defined plot that often involves a conflict that gets resolved. Stories made to order, I hear you ask. This formulaic approach doesn't seem quite like the real original creative literary endeavor writing a book should be. But before we get snooty about what constitutes real writing, remember that genre books have a lot going for them. Because they feature likely themes, characters, and endings, genre fiction is easier to define, categorize, shelve, and therefore sell. Readers already know what they're getting themselves into. And they're also more willing to try out an unknown author of a genre they already enjoy. Publishers know how and who to market to. Giving a frame of reference to short-circuit the decision-making process of trying a new author or series. And whilst literary fiction is much more about emotional journeys and character study, genre fiction is written for entertainment, an escape from reality which allows the reader to explore different worlds, circumstances, and possibilities. Some highbrow readers might think that genre fiction will never be as worthwhile as the literary kind. And in reverse, a lot of people who exclusively read genre fiction think that literary fiction is pretentious and boring. But in reality, neither is better than the other. Simply different flavors that speak to the power of a story to transport the reader to different places, times, and relationships. This month's book selection on Exclusive Books Recommends features some fine examples of genre fiction. Although I read widely, I also have a not-so-secret obsession for good, cozy crime. You will know this genre from Richard Osman's hugely popular The Thursday Murder Club series. On screen, think of Midsummer Murders, or from the good old days, Angela Lansbury's Murder, She Wrote. Cozy mysteries very rarely focus on harsh realities, profanity, or violence. The murders take place off stage and are often relatively bloodless, while sexual activity, if any, between characters is only gently implied. They make for comforting reading, just the ticket when you feel like a good back rub of a book. A lovely example of this type on Exclusive Books Recommends is The Excitements by C.J. Ray. Meet the Williamson sisters, Britain's most beloved World War II veterans. Now in their late 90s, Josephine and Penny are in huge demand, beloved of journalists and producers, popping up on red carpets and fundraisers and festivals all over the country. Despite their age, they're still in great form, perfectly put together, sprightly and sparky, and always in search of the next excitement. This time, it's a trip to Paris to receive an honor for their part in liberating France. As always, they will be accompanied by their devoted gay nephew, Archie, who moved in with his aunts right after he came out. Now, armed with new information about an old adversary, these much-decorated but admittedly ancient veterans intend to settle scores, avenge lost friends, and pull off one last daring heist before the curtain finally comes down on their illustrious careers. It's deliciously fast-paced and witty. The Excitements is the tale of two remarkably clever and plucky senior citizens who helped save the world and survive the unthinkable without ever losing their killer instinct or their joie de vivre. Why are humans so drawn to the horror genre? From books to film, we can't seem to get enough of what scares us most. Horror is a genre of storytelling intended to scare, shock, and thrill its audience. It can be interpreted in many different ways, but there's often a central villain, a monster, a threat that is often the reflection of fears being experienced by society at the time. This is also why the horror genre has changed so much over the years. As culture and fears change, so does horror. Interestingly, we are currently seeing a surge in publishing for this genre, perhaps as we grapple with ever new and ever changing fears in our turbulent times. Womb City by Klotlo Tsamase imagines a dark and deadly future Botswana, rich with culture and true folklore, which begs the question, how far must one go to destroy the structures of inequality upon which society was founded? How far must a mother go to save the life of her child? Nella seems to have it all, wealth, fame, a husband, and a child on the way. But she is in a body her husband controls via microchip, and she's in a tailspin of a loveless marriage. Her hopes and dreams come to a devastating halt, but a secret claws its way back into Nella's life from the grave. As her victim's vengeful ghost begins exacting a bloody revenge on everyone Nella holds dear, she will have to unravel her society's terrible secrets to stop those in power and become a monster unlike any other to quench the ghost's violent thirsts. Thrillers are characterized and defined by the moods they elicit, giving their audiences heightened feelings of suspense, excitement, surprise, anticipation, and yes, anxiety. So if it's the edge of your seat kind of reading that you're after, try The Hidden by Fiona Snickers. A vicious attack, hidden perpetrators, an ordinary family. In the aftermath of the worst terrorist attack on U.S. soil since 9/11, FBI Special Agent in Charge, Alia Knox, and her team come under intense pressure to locate and arrest the ringleaders. But their targets are survivalists, skilled at melting into the forests of the Pacific Northwest, where they recognize no outside authority, state or federal. Becca Abramson is a woman with a secret. She might look like just any other suburban mother, but her ties to the survivalist community run deep. The FBI will go to any lengths to incriminate her in the terrorist attack, while she will stop at nothing to protect her family. As the country shudders in the wake of the brutal attack on a business park, long-buried secrets emerge as the FBI seeks justice for lives lost. Fast-paced and gripping, Snickers will have you hooked till the last page. Now, although not strictly genre writing, there is a particular self-development kind of book that is topping the bestseller charts both here in South Africa and worldwide. Books like Robin Sharma's 5 a.m. Club or James Clear's Atomic Habits set the tone for these entertainingly written, accessible guide-type books that meld science and personal anecdote, offering tips on how to get better every day and to feel inspired to do so. We know now that multitasking has failed us. Not only are our brains not wired to do so many things at once, but trying to multitask also leaves us frazzled and anxious. Enter Time Boxing by Mark Zal Sanders. The gloriously simple practice of choosing one thing to do, when to do it, and getting it done. This is fundamental, transcendent time management practice, count luminaries from Carl Jung and Albert Einstein to Bill Gates and Steve Jobs have employed some form of it in their daily lives. Zal Sanders provides an informative and accessible look at every aspect of this revolutionary method, how to do it consistently and how to do it well. Visit Exclusive Books for books in all these genres and more. Horror, romance, fantasy, cozy crime, and even self-help. With genre writing and publishing, you are spoiled for choice, but you are also assured that your choice will be a good one, offering a satisfying story with a flavor and packaging that you know works for you.
Thank you so much, Batya. That was a fantastic segment full of really interesting books. I'm going to talk about them right now, but I want to tell you that that was Batya Bricker from Exclusive Books telling us about what they've got going on their shelves in the upcoming months. And the thing about Exclusive Books is that if the book you seek does truly exist, you'll find it at Exclusive Books, not just in their stores. They have multiple stores around the country, but also online. They have tons of fantastic books online, and you can buy them online, so you can browse online. So I was so excited, Batya, to hear you mention The Hidden by Fiona Snickers, because I actually just finished reading that, and I really enjoyed it. To my mind, this is what this book brings to the table. We've got an American survivalist cult in Oregon, in a post-Trump female president era USA, executing this deadly and devastating terrorist attack, the likes of 9/11. We've also got an FBI agent who's on the case. And then there's this couple who are really just trying to raise their family in suburban, all-American peace. But of course, this is fiction, so peace doesn't go that far. So me, I love the cult. Obviously, I love the cult in fiction, not in real life. I love reading about cults. There's some kind of morbid curiosity that I have. And also, they normally have these very charismatic, crazy leaders, and it fascinates me. I really enjoyed this because it has a lot of the elements that I enjoy in kind of a fast-paced thriller with the cult, the FBI. For me, The Hidden by Fiona Snickers is a very fast-paced, I found it an original domestic thriller. I haven't quite read anything like that before. And I was turning the pages from start to finish. It took me about 3 days to read this. I got to say, there was a lot that I didn't see coming in this novel. There were twists and turns that as they happened, I was like, oh, didn't see that coming. Thank you for raising that book, Batya. I also really enjoyed it. Right, we're going to play a music track. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Penguin Random House, Viz Chetty, and he's going to tell us about what he's got coming up on their shelves in the upcoming months. Welcome back. That was Pata Pata by the Soweto String Quartet. And you're tuned into Book Choice, the Publisher's Choice edition, here on Fine Music Radio. And I'm your host of this show every second Tuesday. My name is Paige Nick. And I love to read far too much and love to talk about books far too much. So hopefully you're in the right place at the right time and I'm in the right place at the right time. So coming up next is our first publisher. We just heard from Exclusive Books, and now we have three more publishers coming up. Our first publisher on today's show is Penguin Random House. You definitely would have heard of them. Viz Chetty is here from Penguin Random House, and he's going to take us through their stack of recommended reads for March and April. Hi, Viz. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Paige. Thanks for having me back on the show. This is Viz Chetty, as Paige has mentioned. I am back this month. These are your March choices, publisher's choice. These books have become in-house favorites. We've read them, we love them, and we think you will too. So I'm going to start off. I've got five books to discuss today. I thought, you know, in the last few months, I've been giving you a lot of nonfiction, fantastic nonfiction that we've been doing. So let me throw in a few more fiction titles. And I think that these would appeal to a lot of people who read fiction and who enjoy fiction. So the first one is by an author named Victoria Maas. She wrote a book last year called The Mad Woman's Ball. Some of you may have read it. It was a little book, but it was a really powerful, great little book by Victoria Maas. The new book that she's now done is also a little story. So it's not a big novel, so you can get through it pretty quickly. It's called The Island of Miss Miracles. Great title. I think that this one will appeal to people who like a little bit of, let's say, literary fiction, but it's really well, it's a translated work, so it should be quite quite appealing either way. So a story is set in a tiny island off the coast of Brittany. It's a close-knit community, and in this community arrives a nun by the name of Sister Anne. Now, Sister Anne has been told that she will witness a visitation by the Virgin Mary while she is there. So she makes her way to the island to connect spiritually and get the messages that she's meant to. She's got her own issues and, you know, taking holy orders, and she absolutely longs for this sort of honor of receiving a message that she's destined for. But when she's there, she comes across, or we come across, other characters in the island, such as Hugo, who's this little awkward boy who's quite strange in many ways. He's very quiet and he's often misunderstood by the people around him. There's another boy by the name of Isaac who sort of lives in the shadow of his brother, and he's not really loved by his father, who spends all his time actually worrying about his daughter and her health. And so it's complicated relationships that we see in this book. I would not spoil it for you. I'm not going to do that. But I will tell you, there are some twists and turns in the tale. And at the end of it all, it's just a deliciously written book. It's delicate. It's beautiful. The prose is sparse. And I think Victoria Maas, she does very little to conjure such a vast sort of world with intricate characters and plot lines. So follow the story of Sister Anne and all the people on the island. And this book is called The Island of Mists and Miracles by Victoria Maas. You should see this at the end of March, early April in stores. Beautiful novel. I'd highly recommend it. And especially if you have read Mad Woman's Ball, I'm sure you can't wait for this one. Right. The next one is by Ella Lee. The book is called Jaded. It is also available in March. It is a story about a woman named Jade. She's of mixed heritage. She's half Turkish and half Korean. She lives in Britain. She's a citizen of Britain. Her parents have moved there when they were younger to sort of give her the life that they didn't really have. And her name Jade is actually an anglicized version of the Turkish name Ceyda, spelled C-E-Y-D-A. And I'm sure Turkish listeners out there will correct me in the pronunciation. I do apologize. But it's just a name that she created, and she calls it her Starbucks name. So, you know, she had to sort of anglicize her name so that they could get it right at her local coffee shop. So Jade is quite successful. You know, she's got a nice boyfriend. He's got a nice, easygoing relationship. She's a bit of a workaholic as a lawyer. She works as a lawyer, and she's quite successful at that. And she's a good daughter to her parents. She's, you know, they've done a good job. And then one morning, she goes to a work function, and she wakes up the next morning, and she's in her bed. She doesn't have clothes on. She doesn't have a clue of how she got home, but and a hazy memory of what happened the night before. And what happens as you go through the novel is slowly her body sort of starts to remember, and she has to confront what actually happened to her. I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but the book does cover issues of ethnicity and racism and misogyny, and even to some degree sexual assault. I think this is a very important book. I think it's really well written. It will make you think. You will connect with her very, very closely. I think it's a wonderful novel. This is available in March. And as I said, the book is called Jaded. The author is Ella Lee. Right, the next one, exciting one. We meant to publish this a while, for a few years now. It sort of came in and came out of our schedule. It's finally arrived. We're so glad it's here. The book is called 14 Days. It's edited, put together by Margaret Atwood and Douglas Preston. You will see it in stores at the end of March. So it's set during the time of lockdown. And I know a lot of people who have read in inverted commas, lockdown novels have had enough. But this is a very interesting bit of work in publishing, and I think we're very proud of it for that. So we've got 36 American and Canadian authors from a whole variety of different literary backgrounds, all collaborating to tell the story of a group of New Yorkers who are unable to escape the city during the COVID pandemic. So what they do is, it starts off in day one, and they, all the residents of this particular building, head off to the roof, and they set up camp chairs and they sit around and basically tell stories. So essentially almost a book of short stories, but they're all interlinked and they edited and put together so well, you wouldn't even notice they were different authors. But there are some wonderful names in this novel that you will recognize. Really, really great big names in this one. And it's all put together by Margaret Atwood and Douglas Preston. And these stories, you'll find out at the end of the novel who wrote which story. But I would recommend, if you do read it, don't refer to the back. Rather read the whole novel, which you will find is a little hard to put down. And when you get to the end, you'll see who wrote which story. So it's a wonderful project, and I think I'm so glad it's finally here. And although, you know, many of the stories are very, sometimes you might feel like they're a little disconnected. Trust me, they've done a great job in actually connecting them. And at the end of it all, it's all connected by one or two main themes, which is really well written and flows very nicely. So enjoy that one. It's called 14 Days by Margaret Atwood and Douglas Preston. And that will be out at the end of March. The next one is The Book of Doors by Gareth Brown. Now, I'll be honest, I took a chance with the Fine Music listeners on this one. I'm just trying to test the waters a little bit here. It's very different, but I think if you pick it up and read it, you might actually really like it. So Cassie Andrews is the main character. She lives a fairly simple sort of 20-something life in New York. She's got a best friend named Izzy, and she works in a bookstore. She comes across a customer in the store, and unfortunately, he actually passes away in the store. He dies in the store. But before he passes away, he leaves with her a book with an inscription inside, with a note that says it's the Book of Doors. And what she realizes is this Book of Doors, this book, actually opens up the key to any other door. So it allows her to travel from one place to the other in an instant. Now, this is a very powerful force to have it at your fingertips. And what she realizes, there are other people in this sort of magical world that will do anything to get it. And what she also realizes is that there are other books. As we have the Book of Doors, there's other books with other powers that people have, which will intersect with our main character, Cassie. It's full of twists and turns, and it's not the sort of jumpy twists and turns, but it keeps the story going in unexpected directions, which is very refreshing. It's very well written. It is a debut by Gareth Brown. It's beautifully, beautifully written and paced. I think you would really, really like this. So if you pick this up, it's also coming in March. It's getting a lot of hype on social media and things, so you're probably not going to miss this. And you're going to probably think, that's the one Viz talked about. Book of Doors, Gareth Brown, in March. Right. And then the last one I'm going to throw in is actually a nonfiction. It's by Chris Anderson. You will probably know that name. He's the media pioneer and curator of TED, best-selling author. He's wrote a few other books. This book is called Infectious Generosity, and it's a book about one of humankind's defining but most overlooked impulses and how we can supercharge it, its potential to build a more hopeful future. And that obviously is generosity. It's positive. And I think in these times of, if you look at social media and how much, especially in the last 2 or 3 years, how much negativity it might have brought, how much fear it might have created and things like that. What he does in this book, he says, look, it can actually, but this is the positive side of it. This is what people can do. I mean, you've all seen those videos where people walk around and just buy 1,000 burgers and just spread it around, you know, and that's on the internet. That sort of concept and what that makes you feel is what he's trying to get at in this book. So he gives you examples, and there's various stories. And as you know, there's lots and lots of stories out there like this. So it's airy and it's sort of fresh and you sort of flow through it. So it's a wonderful read if you just want to relax with that. And it could be a movement if it actually caught on like this. So you get examples of how a London barber began offering haircuts to people experiencing homelessness and this sort of catalyzed movement. How anonymous donors gave $10,000 each to 200 strangers. And then they discovered that most recipients wanted to pay it forward with their own generous acts. And he talks about TED a little bit and how what was once a niche annual summit became this platform. For millions of people to access free learning and talks and things like that. So it's a wonderful, wonderful book. I will have, there's a lovely quote here by Elizabeth Gilbert, who's the author of Eat, Pray, Love. And she said, "I flew through these pages with an increasing sense of joy. And I hope that millions read this book." So it's a wonderful quote there from Elizabeth Gilbert. Yeah. So Infectious Generosity, Chris Anderson, that will be out in March. And folks, that's all I have for now. I will tell you, we've got many, many, many great books this year from Penguin Random House. We cannot stop publishing good books, it seems. We are so lucky to have these wonderful authors, and we've got wonderful things planned for this year. So stay tuned, listen out for next month's one coming up. I'll be back and I'll give you some more recommendations, and I'll try and squeeze in a few more. But for now, thank you very much for listening. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Viz. That was a really cool selection. In fact, I wrote down a couple of those that I want to check out. Some really interesting sounding reads. So that was just the tiniest little taste of what Penguin Random House is bringing to the shelves of Exclusive Books every single month. If you're curious about the rest of their titles, or if you want to find out more about any of those titles, you can follow Penguin Random House on social media. They're on all the social medias. I've said this before. If you want to win books, the easiest way to do it is to follow any of these publishers or Exclusive Books on social media. They're often doing giveaways, but they also tell you about their launch events, which is very exciting, upcoming titles, international and local. So it's really worth following them. You can find Penguin Random House South Africa on all the social medias, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, X, every place you can imagine, they're there and they're talking about books, and it's very exciting. Or they have a website as well, penguinrandomhouse.co.za, and you can search for titles there and read up a little bit more about those titles. Right, that takes us to the end of our second segment for today's show here on Fine Music Radio, and we're going to play into another track. This one is Mascanada. Yeah, I think it's Spanish and my Spanish is very bad, so bear with me. And it's by the Glenn Robertson Jazz Band.
Se nem me de quem roubar, hoje vem que nem gozar, esse gringo de bombar. Este samba que tem dolor em meu pé, um barulho, quem quer o duro ver. Mas que nada, se lê de quem roubar, em bandeira sem roubar, e que de quem roubar. Se ninguém não vem gozar, quem de quem de quem não vem, e ninguém não vem bombar. Este samba não singue no lurumbê, quem é do marido, quem é do lurumbê. Mas que nada, se não tem que se engordar, bebo sem que nem não vem, por um nem que quem gombar.
That was the Glenn Robertson Jazz Band playing Mascanada. This is Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. And we're heading into our third segment of the show. In this show, we have three publishers joining us and one bookseller, and they're telling us about what they're publishing right now. So the next publisher up is the Pan Macmillan team. We're joined by Shakti Pillay, who's a publicist, and she's in the marketing department at the Pan Macmillan team. These publishers have enormous jobs. Over the years, they've had to do more and more as budgets have gone smaller and things have become more difficult. So each of these publishers that we hear on the show are involved in so many different processes in bringing out a book. They're involved in the sales. They're involved in the selection process of which titles they should bring into South Africa. They're also involved in the process of deciding which South African authors to publish. Then they're involved in the production as well. So they're involved in things like paper selection, font selection, typesetting, editing. They're managing the whole process. And then once the book's been edited and typeset and cover has been designed and selected, then they're involved in the launch of the book, planning the launch, being at the launch. So it's kind of an exciting job, but they have a massive amount to do. So I'm always very grateful to have them on the show because I understand that their time is very important to them. But we so value their opinion because they're immersed in books. They understand what makes a really good book and they understand what makes a big seller. So it's great to have them on the show. That being said, I want to welcome Shakti Pillay from Pan Macmillan and the Pan Macmillan team to tell us about what they've got going on.
Hi, everyone. I hope you are all doing well. It's that time again where we talk about our favorite subject, books. But more enticing, what is happening in the book world in the month of March? Well, let's march on into some of the leading titles published by Pan Macmillan this month. And stay tuned for some exciting events coming up. You may know Fiona Snickers from her 2020 award-winning novel, Lacuna, or from her book about private school privilege in the school gates. But 2024 Fiona is back with a new release called The Hidden. Fiona is known to be one of South Africa's revered writers. She crafts novels that unfurl across multiple genres, and The Hidden speaks to this complex, intelligent writing. In Fiona's words, The Hidden doesn't fit neatly into a single genre. It is an FBI thriller crossed with domestic noir and set in the Pacific Northwest in the United States. It is a multi-narrative book with chapters that switch between time and setting, showcasing the harsh difference between a modern society versus a commune settlement ridden with polygamy, patriarchy, and powerless characters. Your jaw will meet the floor at the close of chapter one. We asked Fiona which of the characters was the most intricate to write about. And this is what she had to say.
My FBI investigator, Alia Knox, was the character I was most concerned with getting right. She's a woman of color who was raised in a white evangelical community by adoptive parents. She doesn't know as much about her birth parents as she would like. She's brilliant at her job and ruthless when she needs to be, which is a lot of the time. She also has addiction issues and anger issues that cause her to make questionable choices. She's my favorite character in the book.
The Hidden is now available at a bookstore near you or available online. From one revered author to another, Ivan Vladislavich, South Africa's literary icon, who delivered the award-winning Portrait with Keys, an original work of intense acuity and quiet power, brings us a much-anticipated part memoir, part reflection in the Near North. The Near North is a vivid account of life in Johannesburg in times of crisis, from the stony ridges of Lagamankop in Kensington to the tree-lined avenues of Houghton. We follow the writer through the city streets, meeting its ghosts and journeying through time and space, finding meaning in the everyday and incidental. The Near North is both intimate and expansive, ranging from small domestic dramas to great public spectacles. Wryly playful at times, fiercely serious at others, it is certain to move and delight all who accompany the writer through its pages. Andrew Harding, the 2022 Sunday Times Nonfiction Literary Award winner for These Are Not Gentle People, shared that the Near North is a bewitching meditation, a raw literary and heartfelt ode to life in Johannesburg. Jacob Lamini, South African journalist and professor at Princeton University, stated that if, as someone once said, a nation's existence is a daily plebiscite, Johannesburg's existence is, as Ivan Vladislavich demonstrates in this poignant book, a daily moral challenge. As Ladislavich shows so vividly in The Near North, to live in Johannesburg is to face constant questions over right and wrong, and to reckon always with the choice between ethical living and moral indifference. A city both beautiful and ugly, rich and poor, happy and miserable, Johannesburg works on the nerves the way a war zone might. It exacts a heavy psychic toll on those who call it home. Yet, as Ladislavich writes in some of the most moving prose ever written about this former mining town, people live here. They make lives here. Ladislavich has made his life here, and in The Near North, he shares that with us. What a chronicle of a city in perpetual crisis. What a fitting follow-up to Portrait with Keys. So, reimagine the City of Gold with Ivan Ladislavich and get your copy of The Near North now. Ivan will be at the Books on the Bay Festival happening in Simonstown from the 22nd to the 24th of March. You can also join Ivan for his book launch at the Book Lounge on the 26th of March to get your copy signed. Another book making the rounds on social media is Araminta Hall's One of the Good Guys. Araminta is known for her razor-sharp, resonant, and daring social commentary. And in One of the Good Guys, Araminta delves into the shadow pandemic of gender-based violence and asks, if most men say they're one of the good guys, then why are so many women afraid to walk alone at night? The story follows Cole, the perfect husband, a romantic, supportive of his wife, Miles' career, keen to be a hands-on dad, not a big drinker, a so-called good guy. So when Mal leaves him, he's flawed. She was lucky to be with a man like him. Craving solitude, he accepts a job on the coast and quickly settles into his new life, where he meets reclusive artist Lenny. Lenny has made the same move for similar reasons. She is living in a crumbling cottage on the edge of a nearby cliff, in an undeniably scary location, but sometimes you have to face your fears to get past them. As their relationship develops, two young women go missing while on a walk, right by where Cole and Lenny live. Finding themselves at the heart of a police investigation and media frenzy, it soon becomes clear that they don't know each other very well. One of the Good Guys is a commanding thriller that explores what happens when women have had enough. To round off our March picks of the month, we have a special read for fans of BBC's The Antiques Roadshow in the form of C.L. Miller's debut cozy crime novel, The Antique Hunter's Guide to Murder. You may think, C.L. Miller sounds oddly familiar. Well, you're not wrong. C.L. Miller has had insider's access to the world of antiques as her mother is Judith Miller, an antiques expert on the BBC program The Antiques Roadshow. It was a chance remark by a friend that provided the seed of inspiration for this here release. The Antique Hunter's Guide to Murder follows Freya Lockwood, who has avoided the quaint English village in which she grew up for the last 20 years. That is until news arrives that Arthur Crockleford, antiques dealer and Freya's estranged mentor, has died, and the circumstances seem suspicious. But when a letter from Arthur is delivered, sent just days before his death, and an ordinary pine chest concealing Arthur's journals, including reservations in her name, are revealed, Freya finds herself sucked back into a life she'd sworn to leave behind. Joining forces with her eccentric Aunt Carol, Arthur's staunch best friend, Freya follows both clues and her instincts to an old manor house for an antiques enthusiast's weekend. But not all is as it seems. Can Freya and Carol solve the mystery surrounding the weekend before a killer strikes again? Get your copy and find out. So, which of the four books will be your next read? The Hidden by Fiona Snickers, The Near North by Ivan Ladislavich, One of the Good Guys by Araminta Hall, or The Antique Hunter's Guide to Murder by C.L. Miller? Follow Pan Macmillan South Africa on all social media platforms for more book recommendations. Till next time.
Thank you so much, Shakti. That was really, really interesting. You guys have always bring out such an interesting mix of international and local titles. I really enjoy it. In fact, I think you're publishing a lot of South African fiction right now as well, which is a very exciting situation for me as a South African fiction author and a South African fiction fan. As I mentioned before, Pan Macmillan, like the other publishers, are on social media, so you can find them, Pan Macmillan South Africa, on all the social medias. They also do a lot of book giveaways, so if you want to win free books, I recommend you follow them. And of course, they have a website, panmacmillan.co.za. I do recommend you check that all out. We've got one last track, and then we're going to welcome the Jonathan Ball team to the show to tell us about what they're publishing right now. And that track is called Love You Madly. Well, books, we love you madly. Yama da ba da 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 da
it so? I thought you ought to know. I love you madly. Better fish are in the sea. It's not the theory for me.
And that's for sure, just like
I said before. I love you madly.
If you could see the happy you and me.
I dream about so proudly. You know the breath of spring that makes me sing my love song so loudly.
Good things come to those who wait.
Let's all just relax and wait for fate to let me see the day you say to me, I love you madly, love you madly. Right or wrong, sounds like the lyric of a song.
But since it's so, I thought you ought
to know. I love you madly.
If you could see the happy you and me,
yeah. La ba da ba da ba da ba ba. The breath of spring makes me sing my love song so loudly. Good things come to those who wait. So just relax and wait for fate to let me see the day you say to me,
I love you madly.
But since it's so, I thought you ought to know.
That track was Love You Madly, and you're tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio. My name is Paige Nick, as I've mentioned before, and I'm your host on this show. We've got one final segment for you, and that's the Jonathan Ball team. And the Jonathan Ball team are a super vibrant team, and they're joining us today to tell us what they've got coming out and to chat to us a bit about their authors and their publishing processes. Welcome to the show, Jonathan Ball.
Hello. This is Jane from the publicity team at Jonathan Ball Publishers. It is with great excitement that we are looking forward to the Books on the Bay taking place at Simonstown from the 22nd to the 24th of March. Our authors, Mark Gefisser, Melgi Orford, Beverly Rose Miller, and Daryl Bristow Bovey will be participating at the Books on the Bay.
This is Margie Orford, and I'm really happy to be talking to Fine Music Radio people today. I'm going to be at the Books of the Bay Festival in Simonstown for my memoir, which is called Love and Fury. It's a book in which I trace both my fierce love and fairly righteous rage in some cases, trying to unravel the entanglements that are at once tender and traumatic, the entanglements that make a woman's life, I suppose. I'm going to be doing a couple of sessions and a masterclass there. So if anyone's thinking of learning to write memoir, do sign up. I'm so looking forward to seeing my readers and the listeners.
I'm Beverly Rose Muller. As an historian, I decided to write a book, Bullet in the Heart, to understand the Boer side of the war, as I couldn't find one in English. My late husband, Professor Ampi Muller, had two grandfathers and a great-grandfather from the Free State who fought. Over time, I discovered totally unexpectedly the diaries of three of the four Muller brothers who rode to war, the only record of three brothers doing this, giving very individual and different perspectives of the same war. All were captured, taken as prisoners, and three were sent into exile. The book tracks the whole war and the disastrous consequences to South Africa in the 20th century. I'm looking forward to seeing you at Books on the Bay to share this unique story with you.
Before I begin, I want to take a trip down memory lane and remind you of some of the phenomenal books South African readers have loved in recent years. From the likes of A.J. Finn's The Woman in the Window and Girl A by Abigail Dean, all the way to Nita Prose's iconic Molly the Maid. Every author starts somewhere. The debut is an author's first appearance in the publishing world, their opportunity to make a splash. The book I'll be talking about today is Anna O by Matthew Blake. After discovering that the average person spends 33 years of their life asleep, Matthew Blake spent a lot of time thinking about what it is that people really do while they are asleep. This took him down the rabbit hole of extensive research on the topic of sleep-related crimes and a mystery illness known as resignation syndrome. He was faced by the question, if someone commits a murder while they are sleepwalking, are they guilty or innocent? This is the thrilling question that brings the story of Anna O to life. Anna O hasn't opened her eyes for 4 years. Not since the night she was found in a deep sleep next to the bodies of her best friends. She was found holding a bloody knife. Now the state is ready to put Anna on trial. The catch is that they need her awake to do it. Dr. Benedict Prince is the forensic psychologist who was given the task of waking her up. He is no stranger to the fact that there are always secrets that lie buried in the subconscious, and as he studies Anna's dreams, combines her memories, and visits the sites where all the horrors played out, he is pulled into a much deeper and darker mystery. This is a psychological thriller that will keep you up all night, then haunt your dreams when you finally do fall asleep. It is brilliant and so enjoyable, I cannot recommend it enough.
Today I'll be telling you about a spellbinding debut that has just hit shelves here in South Africa. The book is titled The Storm We Made by Malaysian writer Vanessa Chan. And before we get into the details of this much-anticipated book, I must tell you that this book was acquired by Hodder in the UK through a 7-way auction. It landed a 7-figure deal in the US, and it'll be published in 20 languages. Amazing, right? The Storm We Made tells the story of Cecily, who, as a discontented housewife, is seduced by a Japanese general, Fujiwara, in British Malaya in the 1930s. She becomes his personal spy after his promise of a glorious future for independent Malaya, free from British colonialism. She unwittingly alters the fate of her country by welcoming in a form of dictatorship under the Japanese in World War II. Under Japanese-occupied Malaya in 1945, Cecily and her family are barely surviving, and her children, Jujube, Jasmine, and Abel, are in terrible danger. This book is partly based on the writer's own grandparents' experiences of the brutal conflict during the Japanese occupation of Malaya, and this gives the book a very personal edge that makes the story just that more real. It's quite a heavy read, I must say, and utterly heartbreaking, but it's one of the most beautiful written stories that I've read in a long time. This book will definitely stay with you for a long time after reading it.
Hello, dear listeners. Today I'd like to share with you a book which tugged at my heartstrings, and which Khalid Hosseini said, I gasped, laughed, and wept my way through it. This book is called Hard by a Great Forest. It was written by Leo Varishvili, and it is on shelves now. This book is about three men, a father, Irakli, and his two sons, Saba and Sandu, who leave their home in Georgia, seeking asylum in the UK. 2 decades later, all three men are struggling to make peace with the past, as they are haunted by the places and the people they left behind. One day the father decides that he needs to return back to Georgia because he's pulled back by the memories of a lost wife and a decaying but still beautiful homeland. His two sons wait eagerly awaiting for news about his safe arrival and how everything is going. Days and days go by, and after weeks of his arrival, he disappears, but he did leave them with a final email, which says, "My boys, I did something I cannot undo. I need to get away from here before these people catch me. Maybe in the mountains I'll be safe. I left a trail I can't erase. Do not follow it." One of his sons decides not to follow these instructions, and he decides that he is going to go look for his father. So he traces his father's footsteps. In his journey, he starts learning more about his history, about the people, and the homeland. This story is very powerful. And it's very hopeful. It's about individual and collective trauma of war and the indomitable spirit of a people determined not only to survive, but to remember those who did not. I strongly recommend that you read this book. We hope you enjoyed this segment about debut authors. and we hope this year you may give debut authors a chance so that you may tap into a new world of reading. Happy reading!
Oh, wow, an incredibly inspiring segment with lots of snippets that I'm super interested in. Again, I've taken a ream of notes from today's show of things that I really want to read, despite the fact that, let me tell you, my to-read pile is absolutely heaving. I don't know when I'm going to get through it all. Before I sign off, I want to tell you what I'm reading right now off that to-read pile. I'm reading a book called The Vulnerables. It's by Sigrid Nunes. And I tell you why I was very excited when I saw this book was coming out, because I read a previous novel by this author. It was called The Friend, which you may have heard of. It was a National Book Award winning novel, and I very much enjoyed it. There are always interesting animals. Well, I mean, I've only read this one and the other one, but in both of them, there are interesting animals play a part almost as a character. In The Friend, it was a dog, a Great Dane. And in this one, well, I don't want to give it away. There's animals in this one as well. This one it's quite different to The Friend, but it still has the same literary fiction feeling and tone to it. The Vulnerables by Sigrid Nunes. It's an unforgettable novel about the enduring power of connection in a world of increasing distance. Three strangers are thrown together in one Manhattan apartment. There's a solitary writer, a Gen Z college dropout, and a spirited parrot named Eureka. There's that animal I mentioned. The Vulnerables reveals what happens when strangers are willing to open their hearts to each other and how far even small acts of caring can go to ease another one's distress. It's a very compassionate book. I find it's really full of ideas and full of great language, but it's a very sensitive and soft book. It has grief baked into it, a little bit of grief, but the writing is quite joyous and the writing is quite light and airy is the best way I can think to put it. I have to concentrate when I'm reading it because it's very tightly knitted and very well written, and it's quite fantastical, not in the literal sense of that word, but maybe more fantastic is the right way to put it. I do recommend it if you like a gentle literary fiction read that has a lot of interest in it. I find it quite an interesting novel. So that's The Vulnerables by Sigrid Nunes, which is the book that I'm reading right now. Like I said, I took lots of notes throughout the show. If you missed any of the titles or any of the authors and you'd like to kind of get a refresher because you want to look it up or you want to buy it for yourself, we do post this show as a podcast on our website, fmr.co.za, as soon as the show is finished. So it should be up any minute. So you can listen to that at your leisure, and that's also available on the FMR app, which is hopefully already on your phone. I'd like to thank Exclusive Books, Jonathan Ball Publishers for joining us today, as well as the Pan Macmillan team and the Penguin Random House team. I have to thank Mzu Maketa. Mzu compiles our music and also pulls the whole show together, and he takes out all my messes every time I say I'm or when I shouldn't say it. Hopefully he'll take that out and make me sound a little more intelligent than I really am. I also want to shout out to Vanessa Levenstein, who is my right hand in the show. She works so quietly in the background, but she really is a great sounding board and a great help in helping us to produce this show. And that's us for this week's show. You can join us again 2 weeks from now. We have another book choice on Tuesday from 12 to 1 p.m. And until then, happy reading.